This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to Free Left Turn, our left-wing perspective, here on 89.0 Free FM, independent community media. Kia ora, Fred.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mick.
Nearly autumn.
Nearly autumn.
Oh, don't go there, please. Please don't go there.
Yeah. Bit of a chill on that.
Don't go there. Please. I hate this time of year when I know what's coming.
I thought it was unusually warm last night.
It was humid.
Yeah,
decidedly cool this morning.
Yeah, this is that breeze now. It's a bit chilly. Sun goes out, we'll know all about it. Yeah.
Yeah, day's getting shorter, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's how it works. And what do we lose? We lose so many minutes a day.
Yeah, we're pitch black now by just after 8 o'clock.
So it closes up quite quick.
1 minute a day.
Yes.
When's the shortest day? May or June?
June the 21st, I think. Yeah. Or what we call the winter solstice in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So that was our summer.
February's disappointing because normally February you could count on being reasonable, stable weather. February, March, maybe beginning of April.
We've had patches recently.
Yes, patches, that's all it's been.
It's pretty average.
Yeah, that's why one took his annual leave when he did.
Because
anything earlier, you would have had
all over the place. So,
staring at four walls. I do that at work. and we're back to work on Monday. Yes.
All right, you done your holidays, so you're back to work.
Back to work. I could take more if I wanted to, but better not. People might have a fit.
Well, I think my son's got. I think he goes back on 29th of March. He's been off since January.
Wow.
Because, they get loo days for their extra days and all that.
Use it or lose it.
Well, they can be paid out, but he said, I take the time,
I could take it another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No trouble.
Yeah.
But I decided, well, given the job that I've got, it's rather more.
Well, then trouble is, unless someone's filling in for you, You just go back to a mountain. So do you actually get a holiday or not?
No.
Yeah.
I've had a colleague looking after the fort, as they say, and covering a few things, but I don't. The expectation is that you're not doing my job.
Yeah.
Why do you have me there?
Well, that's the danger. I know of jury service. Some people, they're not meant to lose their jobs if they're not allowed to lose their jobs if they're sent. But you get a long trial. And then they suddenly realise, we don't need Mary. Do we really need Mary anymore? She's been away 6 weeks or 8 weeks.
It was a long trial, yes.
Yeah.
So. We know those sorts of stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the story
but of... But it is against the law, so you're not you're not allowed to lose your job. But it might make people start thinking about your position.
That's never prevented people from losing their job.
No.
There was something funny this week.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Gang numbers were up.
Really?
Okay. This is after their efforts of not wearing gang patches.
Yes, but people still join gangs anyway.
How much has it jumped up by? They've got some stats.
I didn't take down the stats, but I know it's past the number of actual policemen. police in New Zealand.
Yeah.
He's gone past that. You know how they talked about, they had this big plan about, this big...
Sorry.
This big recruitment target, eh?
But isn't it, aren't we still so shallow in our thinking, oh, we just need more policemen? You know, this, with the move on, we'll talk about in a minute.
More
but, you
police,
know,
more prison. More.
Yeah, we just need more police. But rather than saying, actually, how can we actually... have a society with less police? How can we have a society with less, you know?
It won't be necessary to have more police and more prisons.
Do we think like that?
No.
Yeah, the law and order come. It's election year. Surprise, surprise. The move on law, you know, off it goes, you know.
Yeah, have to wave that around.
Yeah.
Getting New Zealand back on track.
Yeah.
And the ticks are rebuilding the economy, restoring law and order, and delivering better health and education. And you could scoff at all three.
Yeah.
And moving on from that,
Well, it ties in with... Because you mentioned the police at the beginning of this week, they've just been given extra powers to move people on.
Is it law yet, or has it got to go to Parliament?
Well, they talk about... The article says they've been given powers, extra powers. It says... Yeah, this was in Monday's Times... The government has given police new powers to force people as young as 14 out of public spaces if they're rough sleeping or begging, and send them to prison if they don't. The new move on orders aim to reduce disorderly behaviour in public places by giving police greater powers to intervene earlier. This is Police Minister Mark Mitchell and Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith announced. The law applies to people as young as 14 years old, with penalties including imprisonment for up to 3 months of it. Or a fine of $2,000.
At least they've got somewhere to go over the
winter. First thing I thought was, well, they're creating pauper prisons.
Well, potentially, yeah, absolutely.
And a couple of cartoonists, I've got, one was Jim Hubbard in the Thursday's Times, and it's depicting, I think it's, well, it's got Mark Mitchell down the bottom of the corner for the better listeners, and I think it must be Paul Goldsmith addressing this homeless person.
Mm.
And he says, you want out of the CBD, but government has provided choices and the direction for you. And towards the left of the cartoon, it says a signpost saying, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
That's probably exactly right.
And there's another one by Sharon Murdoch, depicts Paul, Mr. Mitchell in a call centre. And it says, all business, emergency, which service do you require? Police, fire, ambulance. Police, he says. The next caption says, someone who has mental health problems. No, sorry, the police no longer respond to mental health call-outs. And the last segment says, cluttering up a business doorway? Well, that puts a different complexion on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That sums up, those cartoonists summed up quite neatly.
The concern I have, and I do have some sympathy for shopkeepers or anything else, but are they going to be level-handed? I've just got an awful feeling that they'll attend to a wealthier suburb businesses and functions,
whereas
so these people will be moved on and they'll go to a poorer areas and the police will be slower to respond or won't respond. Are they just going to shove the problem out of sight? Into the poorer areas.
That's what they've done in Garden Place.
Yeah,
they've just shunted them somewhere else.
Yeah,
that sounds like society overall, Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can think of the most minor thing in a rich, leafy suburb. Oh, we've got a leaking pipe. Oh, council, ring up council. Oh, gone. And we've got to ring up in a poorer suburb. You'd be waiting months.
Yeah. Yeah. Response times.
Reflective of where you live.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That segues nicely to the government announcing that Lux and Quali drops quarterly action plans. And he's saying that the government's lauding the reduction in the number of people on the social housing register despite official warnings that it doesn't accurately reflect housing need and people are being discouraged by limited social housing supply.
Yeah.
So that just adds to the mix of antisocial dysfunction.
Which goes back to that thing about statistics or anything else. People manipulate statistics year.
They've been manipulating the figures since they came into power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they'll cry about it, all year during the election cycle. Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bode well for some people. No, these aren't figures. These are actual people.
Mm. Mm.
There was an interesting article shared by Dale, you know. Yeah. About it, it was a comment from a homeless person or a person who had been homeless. And it's a very, quite a thin step between being secure to being homeless.
Being spat on
and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You could lose your job, you could become divorced, you could have an illness or whatever.
And you could have your life curtailed by about 10 years.
That's exactly right. So,
Health issues and hard life.
People who have been condemned, we don't know their full story.
No.
We don't know why. Why is that man homeless? Why is that young person homeless? Why is that lady over there sleeping on the street?
This same government said, there'll always be emergency housing for those people in real need.
Yeah.
So they never actually qualify or define what real need
is. So why don't they move them on and put them into a house? For someone to stay and give them the appropriate social services to try and help,
They won't do that because it costs time and money. All these guys are worried about is money.
Well, all they're worried about is cleaning up their patches that they get their votes from. Let's face it. It's a vote. It's a vote catcher.
It's a huge
article. I won't go through the whole thing, but it's just basically.
And the other issue,
of hand,
of course, is it's a vote catcher. And where these people will go to, the people won't vote in the same numbers, same percentages.
Exactly.
You know?
So it's a double whammy.
Yeah, of course. So, you go, this is nice. They're not here anymore. They're somewhere else.
I'm good. I'm good that you sort of underlined a few things in here, Mick. Labour's housing spokesperson said the orders only shift the problem from the CBD to people's neighbourhoods.
Yeah.
Usually poorer neighbourhoods, to say the frank. The government must explain how moving on a 14-year-old rough sleeper, as this policy allows, will do anything other than make their situation even more precarious and dangerous.
Exactly.
While that silly woman from the ACT Party, Palmer, welcomed the move on orders, saying New Zealand have a right to feel safe walking down their own main street.
Which is true.
But the people who are also homeless need to feel safe.
If they're going to move them on, why is the effort to put move you on and say, come with me, Johnny, and come in and actually provide all the things they need to get them back into society.
Trying to turn things around.
Yeah, and it'll be a tough job. Mm. They can have lots of issues, etc.
Yeah, there were a number of Facebook postings about these things.
Yeah.
Mm. And there was these, I would say, what they call trolls, basically, saying to people, why don't you take one in since you're making a big song and dance about it?
Yeah.
But then again, you just add into there, would you do the same?
Just a throwaway.
It's sort of NIMBYism.
Not in my backyard.
But you do understand that it can be a problem, and these people can be menacing.
Yes,
it can. And
intimidating.
But this is not solving the problem.
No, that's not the problem. The problem's not being solved.
Well, it would be if they said, right, we're going, you're moving you on to care.
But you've got to put in the time, the resources, this government's not going to do
it. No, they only want roads of national insignificance.
Yeah, they want nice, easy answers so their supporters will be able to relax.
Yeah.
But, and as I say, there was a cartoon and say about this, a guy saying, well, moving on, and the homeless guy at the placard was saying, well, okay, I'm moving on, but at least I'm going to have somewhere to stay.
Yeah.
Well, I was in prison over the winter.
Yeah.
You know, so does that help? Does that solve anything?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I felt it was a little bit naughty when I did put those comments in, but I was just saying, well, given who these people are, sometimes you check out you look at their profiles and see where they're from.
Mm. Oh,
a couple of South Africans, white. Oh, yeah, that answers my question.
It's very easy to use it as a punishment tool. And that's...
Well, it's going back to the days of Victorian England.
Yeah. Right, you say the workhouses and all that.
Yeah, workhouses, poverty was considered a crime. If you couldn't pay your debts, you ended up in prison.
Posted
somewhere else.
Yeah, wasn't Charles Dickens or was his father in a debtor's prison?
He might have been,
that's one of the stories,
I mean, if you ended up in one of those, one-way street.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was an interesting... I watch a podcast called Days of Horror. It's done out of the northwest of England. So it's sort of like Lancashire, mainly. Right, yeah. Mainly. Places like Burnley, Bolton, Bury, and those sort of places are mentioned. But he visited a place called... I'll rephrase. The one episode I saw was the Angel of the Meadow. The Meadow was a place described by Frederick Ingalls as one of the most depraved and worst places in 19th century England.
Okay.
Yeah, it's slums.
Like a cesspool.
Yeah, and people just got buried there. But because they dug up this body in this place, the person had been murdered, but they didn't know who it was, who her identity was. They tried to make some sort of, you know, how they do they
reconstruction
of their face and all that sort of stuff. And nobody came forward. So they buried her, who they believe was her, in this cemetery in what they call the paupers section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to this day, they're still burying people as paupers in there. They've got no headstone, no wooden cross, but they gave this particular unidentified person a stone.
Mm-hmm.
It's called an Angel of the Meadow.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was interesting to look to the side, and they were just viewing these where people had been buried, and they weren't marked, and they've been identified as paupers.
Well, as you say, there's still pauper graveyards or pauper sections of graveyards.
Yeah.
With people even here. With no means of, no family, nothing.
Yeah.
There was an article in the paper too long ago about the different councils and the reporting.
Mm.
And, you know, some of them were had sort of six and some had 18 and some, you know, this is a year.
Your family, if you're short of funds, you can actually apply for a funeral grant.
Yeah.
But apparently it's made people have to jump through hoops. Not everyone's been able to get it.
If you don't have family, who's going to apply?
Well, if you've got no family...
And no one claims you.
And no one... Yeah, well, the state does have to
Well, councils pick it up, apparently. Yeah. Whether they get reimbursed from the state, I'm not sure. Which what a state should do.
It has to be done... Put it from a hygiene point,
A state has a responsibility to all of its citizens.
Yeah, not just some.
No.
Which is current government is only looking after the select few.
Yeah, for the few, not the many.
Yeah. So what I would recommend to, if you want to look at a podcast, look at the Days of Horror, and the episode's called The Angel of the Meadow.
Okay.
Days of Horror.
Right.
Okay.
Days of Horror, yeah.
I imagine it makes for grim reading.
It makes grim. No, it's quite a grim podcast. He talks about these murders, deaths, disasters. Because he talked about the disaster at the, what was that? Bolton, I think it was. This is a soccer disaster that predate Ibrox.
Oh, right.
Yeah, about 1947. So he talks about these sorts of things. And they try to get people to understand the sort of story behind the event.
The backdrop to events.
But I recommend that particular episode because it talked directly about Frederick Ingalls.
Okay.
What else there, Mick?
See that PM concerned after second medical platform gets hacked.
Oh, yeah.
Medimap
being hacked, yeah.
Yes.
What are they hacking it? Do they know why they're hacking it for? Are they trying to extort information or money or what?
Well, in this case, according to this article, the Prime Minister's concerned of a second major medical platform hack leaving live patients labelled as dead. And people's name changed to Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
It seems to be like a farcical type of a hack.
It's just mischief.
Mischievous.
Medimap is widely used across New Zealand and is often used by the aged care, disability, hospice and community health sectors. But this is the second cyber attack on medical files. Mm. It doesn't bode my well. When I use Manage My Health too, I go online to reorder prescriptions.
That's what I do too.
It doesn't bolster my confidence in electronic control of medical records or voting or, you know. If the security of these corporations or bodies or department is...
Does it bring it into serious question who actually operates the servers on these?
Yeah, but yeah. Don't forget, let's face it, banks, everything else, they have huge teams of people working to try and keep their sites safe.
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
There's been some question as to how diligent they are, because it comes down to money.
Well,
upgrading security systems, time, money.
But what you got to remember, the Bill Gates and the people that invent all these things, and I'm not saying it, there's lots of people like that who, and okay, they've got onto the good side, but there's others who spend all day in front of a computer trying to figure out how to get into things.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, we should be making it as difficult. It's not a good look when one in space is the same month. Should be making, okay, it's nothing's impossible. Anything can be hacked, but surely we should be making it as difficult as possible.
Well, it doesn't give me any confidence.
It doesn't give me any confidence.
Look, I've got what do you call it, a My Health thing, but I don't know how to use it, and I don't bother using it.
Right.
I just say, look, I don't use it. If it's something really important, ring me up.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Margaret feels the same. She's got the my one as well. Yeah. I know how to utilise it, but you know that major hack in that particular one. We've received no information that
doesn't fill you of confidence. Does
no, no, no. I received no information to say that my details have been compromised. Did you, Mick?
No.
Well, not many were apparently.
No. Yeah, but you need that.
But you should be told
assurance that no,
I'm not really worried. If someone decides to hack into my medical files, so what?
Yeah,
I'm not particularly fussed.
Yeah,
but other people feel differently.
Yeah,
it's personal information, and
some people are sensitive.
And if people use that information to cause other people distress, I'm against that.
Yeah, like, you know, if someone finds out I've had a penis reduction, you know, that's sorry, I couldn't help myself.
The mind bottle.
This is a family show, yeah. So that tells me again that this thing about around cyber security could be deemed an essential infrastructural process.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's going to, with AI,
it's going to increase.
It's just going to be so huge.
Our dependence is going to grow more and more.
Yeah.
So are we thinking in terms of, are they taking shortcuts?
In terms of access to information and the disruption these hacks cause.
Have we got enough, is the punishments for doing hacking and all that, Is that strong enough to deter?
Well, they've,
or do they come from some other country somewhere?
But they've been talking about this for some years. Governments are scrambling. They're trying to catch up with the progress made in technology.
Yeah.
The laws, they can't keep up trying to introduce laws to combat this stuff.
Well, look at the ones that go back to, with AI and all that, people impersonating and sending pictures of you and all that. Falsifying your looks and all that.
Well, and also repercussions that you could have your character besmirched by false allegations.
Oh, absolutely.
Making claims that you said something that you haven't said something and cause mischief.
Yeah.
And dangerous too.
Oh, well, it is very dangerous because people are susceptible,
campaign you hack your opponent's
People who are vulnerable mental health wise, you could become suicidal, or you could not just become suicidal, you could commit suicide.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So scary stuff.
Yeah.
It says is there enough investment in that space to keep it
you do wonder,
over and above the hackers. Yeah.
Yeah, and I say is there enough deterrence out there? That's what I wonder.
Because I'm afraid my despondent tone continues because this was yesterday. Maori, Pacific and disabled children disproportionately affected. One in seven New Zealand children is going without the basics, with Maori, Pacific and disabled children disproportionately affected. New figures from Stats New Zealand show material hardship and poverty rates remain persistently high, with no major change from the previous year. This survey was conducted between June 24 and July of last year. 14% of children are living in material hardship, meaning they lack or cannot afford certain items or services on the specified list, such as putting off a doctor's visit, putting up with the cold to keep costs down. A household is classified as facing material hardship if they lack seven or more of the 18 items, and in severe material hardship if they lack 9 or more.
Okay.
So,
what are they listed or not?
No, it doesn't. They don't list. They haven't listed the whole thing, but there's 18 criteria.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
Yeah, 1 in 4, well, 1/4 of Maori children, 1/3 of Pacific kids, and 1 in 4 disabled children live in material hardship. Stats, income-based measures of poverty, material hardship rates provide an indication of the actual day-to-day living conditions of New Zealand households and their ability to afford things most people would regard as essential or near essential, such as food and clothing.
Food. There was that photo of the empty lunchbox.
A photograph of the. Yes. Apparently, the government has extended funding for community providers to source and distribute food through food hubs and food banks.
And it's also food, clothing, shelter. Essential. But it's also to be able to participate in society and feel part of a society.
Yeah.
You also need to be able to go to the movies occasionally. You also need to be able to your parents be able to take you somewhere. How many kids don't get out of Hamilton?
Mm.
You know, it's all very well for people go, off to the beach house, lake house, the country club, etc. But how many kids don't go anywhere because there's no money to go anywhere? Yeah. All they know is the local park or the local shop, and that's about it. So then how do you keep them, as they grow older, how do you get them to feel they're part of society and feel happy about it? And how do you get them to vote and participate and be decent human beings?
They can't even do that because they're putting off health going to see doctors.
Then you get resentful.
Compounds.
If you feel left out, you can get resentful pretty quick.
Yeah. The article says that addressing child poverty was a priority of the previous Prime Minister, Jacinda.
Mm. Yeah.
But, requirements of the government to report, and she got the government to try and report back in 2018. Child Poverty Reduction Minister Louise Upson said last year the government's efforts to reduce material hardship included lifting the threshold for the Working for Families tax credit.
Well, that's not...
It doesn't appear to be working.
Nothing appears to be working because you talked about lunches or food.
Just the basic stuff.
Clothes.
Rents.
Yeah. Just choose into it, eh?
We sort of generally take for granted, you know?
Yeah. So this is not...
I take your point about the quality of life encourages people to participate.
But
if you're hamstrung from day one,
So the government has extended funding, so they're trying to be hands off, aren't they?
Yeah,
really?
They're trying to be hands off.
They push it to somebody else. Your problem.
Can I be savagely brutally honest?
Yeah.
Does a lot of the people in the government care?
No.
They go, these people don't vote. Their parents won't vote. We don't have to give them rat's bottom about them.
You've answered your own question.
They may not to care because they're not don't feel they're part of the community.
Because what
you said, they don't leave Hamilton. They can only go to the park or go to the shop.
Yeah, very small,
the options
limited.
Are very limited.
Yeah, they don't go to the beach. They don't go to the velodrome. They don't watch a sporting event, etc.
Yeah.
Tells you a lot, doesn't it?
Well, and then of course, then you have all the social disorder, and they go, it's terrible. Look, all the cost to the city,
Get back to where we started again.
And about the homelessness,
antisocial behaviour.
So it's just it just goes around in a circle, and nobody's willing.
Make the hard choices.
Yeah.
Well, they'd make the investment.
No, they don't. Not the social investment.
Yeah, that's what I mean, the investment.
Not the investment into new roads, not the investment into pretty little things like what? Sports arenas or convention centres or theatres.
Which, they're all fine. Everyone can participate in them.
Yeah,
but if it's $100 a ticket, how does Johnny and Mary ever get to go to that show?
They can't afford it.
Then they want to sit outside, but hello, they're going to be moved on.
No, we don't want you. We don't want you begging outside a Countdown.
Yeah,
you're setting a bad example.
Yeah,
I bet when that new theatre was opened, I bet they
would have been swept clean.
Of people, you mean?
Undesirables. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of tongue in cheek. This is an article I came across in the Herald. Austrian town split on decision to turn Hitler's home into a police station. Turning the house where German dictator Adolf Hitler was born into a police station has raised mixed... This is what caught my eye, was mixed emotions in his Austrian hometown. Yeah. The far-right Freedom Party, founded by former Nazis, is ahead in the polls after getting the most votes in a national election for the first time in 2024, though it failed to form a government. Last year, two streets in Braunau am Inn commemorating Nazis were renamed after years of complaints by activists. Yeah, and a memorial stone still stands outside for peace, freedom and democracy, never again, fascism, millions of dead, worn. But it just struck me that response was mixed.
Did you
I didn't realise that Austria's never actually formally apologised for their part of the Holocaust.
Well, they were very nasty against the Jews.
But they've never actually apologised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was a sort of... Yeah.
Well, make them apologise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I've got with you, I say...
Can I just add to this one?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
There was a story that I saw about it's a British soldier in the First World War who this German surrendered to him. And this German who happened to surrender to him was Adolf Hitler.
Oh, right.
And
Corporal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not Corporal Jones. No, yeah. Corporal Hitler, or whatever it was they call him.
Yeah.
And this soldier, years later, resented the fact that he...
Put a bullet in him.
Put a bullet in him.
Oh, dear. If only.
Yeah.
I suspect someone else might have stepped up to...
Yeah, stepped up to the mark. Yeah.
Then are we any worse than what he was?
Calling for that. Hitler wasn't the only one. There was lots of...
Oh, of course. Like Trump's not the only one.
No.
Yeah, there's lots of nuts around. Yeah
absolutely.
I didn't catch the Hipkin State of a Nation promises speech slammed for...
For lack of substance?
Substance. Not delivering policy. And you mentioned earlier on that Nashville did the same thing. Other parties did the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Media bias again.
Yeah. Hipkins says Labour government would need multiple terms. Yes, true. It would need multiple terms to reverse what we've had to endure for the last 3 years.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of things that have been going on for a lot more than 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we go back to what we saw. Yeah, we're talking about the homelessness, the material hardship stuff. That's been going on for years.
Yes.
Mm. Inequality. Let's face it, inequality has really sped up. And it's always been around.
But it's sped up after neoliberalism.
Yeah, neoliberalism kicked off.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just shown no signs of slowing down, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the fact they try to build 12,000 Kiwi-built homes a year by the start of its second term, but it was... It wasn't going to work, was it?
No.
Yeah, so, I was just curious whether you guys came across the Hipkin state, because I haven't got TV, so...
I think I was numb
by the President Trump State of the Nations.
Oh,
I didn't
I deliberately turned the sound off when he started.
Yeah.
The sound bites or the highlights were bad enough. And it was just full of Republican seals barking and clapping.
Yes. Yeah. Can we do
it? It was just unbelievable.
Yeah. But if it had been the other way around with Biden, the other side would have done this barking seals for them.
They did do the same thing when Biden did. Yeah, yeah. They did exactly.
And they all did it when Netanyahu was there.
Yes.
You know?
That was even worse.
I just can't stand to listen to the guy talk.
Trump, really it was an hour and 45 minutes or something.
The longest in the century, apparently.
Yeah, longest state of the nation. Yeah. But he plays for the TV, so he awards medals and talks about someone being a hero. We would call it up yourselfness and snob, you know, just... But they call it American exceptionalism. We just cringe. It's just cringe after cringe.
They can't help themselves,
you know?
They
just,
they go for this stuff.
And they say, Trump's not on his own.
No,
he's one of a number.
He might be the colourful one at present, but that's even on the Democrat side, there's an awful lot of what you'd call... They have such a high opinion of themselves,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I think the age of their representatives has come into focus amongst probably younger voters.
It has.
Yeah, yeah.
The danger to me I see is that Trump, the midterms are coming up for America, and the Democrats will probably easily change the House and we'll get control. They might change the Senate. But
will it really change anything meaningful? No,
and people are going to vote for the Democrats, and I'm sure it's just changing the baton. I'm sure they're
it's
your turn now. We're getting a bit of shit. You guys have a go. Mm-hmm. As long as we keep the Israelis happy and we keep this happy and we keep our troops all over the world, we'll just keep going.
It's just a quiet understanding.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. You know. I think some in the Democrats potentially want to change that.
Mm. But, they're not
but the resistance
traction.
Is huge from
establishment Democrats.
And they'll use every dirty trick in the book.
That's what they did, eh? That's what they've done.
And they make out, little Trump's bad, vote for us because we're a lot more sensible than Trump. They may well be, but they're not going to change anything.
No.
They'll still fly in the movie stars and the heroes to try and get people to vote. And they've had a report of why the Dems lost it, and then they buried it. They wouldn't let anyone read it. They wouldn't publicise it.
Too close to
that.
Too close to the truth.
Oh, no, we need to find out why we lost. Oh, but it's a secret. We'll just, that's in-house, thank you, you know.
Yeah.
So America's political system is...
It's stuffed.
Yeah.
For a better word, yeah.
Well, it's the same as the UK and parts of Europe.
Yeah. Good news.
Good news.
From the left-wing perspective, the Denton and Gorton by-election, the Green, Hannah Spencer, got 14,000 votes and got a 4,000 majority. Reform came second with 10,000, Labour came third with 9,000.
Mm-hmm. And didn't you say the poll turnout was
47.6%.
Registered voters.
And I looked it up, I thought, well, you know, everyone goes on a bit. We do it here too. They say, oh, well, the turnout was 68% or whatever. But it's always of registered voters. Now, I looked at the site and it's called the Democracy Club.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a political neutral, but they're trying to figure out why people don't vote, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So were they able to pinpoint how many actually registered to vote as well as those who actually voted?
They think there's still 15% of... other eligible vote people who could vote who aren't registered.
Yep.
Okay.
And I would say that's similar. Similar here.
Of what the percentage of registered voters who actually voted?
Well, we know the actual percentage was 47% who actually voted.
Of registered voters.
Voters. Yeah. Right, okay. So there was still a lot of registered voters who more than half didn't vote.
15%, yeah.
And then there's another 15% of the pop
who have not registered at all. Yeah.
And so that's a pretty shocking, isn't it? When you think of that's 47 and 15 it's nearly 60%, over 60%.
And if you extrapolate, I mean, it means that if she's involved in policy making, then policies have been imposed on the other by 47%.
Yeah, the minorities.
Minorities imposing policy on the majority.
And
haven't bothered to participate.
And hence why you get this, either this protest vote for reform or even the Greens, you could argue. But then another lot just go, what's the point? That's the danger.
What's the point?
And are they invested in society?
Which is understandable, given... the quality of Canada, but it doesn't help.
But then you get, I thought Hannah had a very good sort of acceptance speech saying, you know, it's the fly tipping and it's the rubbish and it's the lack of support. So these areas deteriorate.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're not supported enough.
And once it starts, it doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And you go back to what we said about the US and its system and the Democrats and the da-da-da-da. And the establishment and people become cynical and they don't participate, so low voter turnout. It's just a downward spiral.
And this Democracy Club, and I've echoed this before, there's a lot of people don't really know what are nervous about voting. They don't have the education skills or anything else. Mm. So rather than feel that they're showing themselves up, they don't vote.
Yeah.
If they don't go in there, not showing themselves up, that they don't understand the form.
Fuck them up, as you say. Yeah.
But what's interesting about this one in Gorton and Denton is that Denton's the wealthier area. There's two areas, yeah. And one's quite doing quite well, and one's not. Yeah. Not. So Denton's the wealthy one, and Gorton's not. But what they were saying is that I've lost my thread of thought.
Well, which demographics?
Yeah.
And the poverty level or wealth level have an influence on
how they vote, etc. But she spoke very well about, and she's done very well because although she's from that area, she's worked hard, got a husband, and when I say worked hard, she's had a job, etc. So she's moved, so she's in a better suburb or whatever, by the sounds of it, etc. But she's still got empathy.
Yeah.
She said, whether you're working or not, everyone should have a good life. And that was her. You were there. Mm. She just wanted everyone to have a good life, regardless of your working situation.
Yeah.
And why not?
Not really asking a lot.
No.
Yeah, that's what's missing for a lot of politics, empathy.
Yeah.
And like Labour's...
she had a go, but our politicians in bed with, in bed with corporations and the elites.
Well, Labour's not off. Labour used to be a Labour party.
Not anymore.
And they wouldn't... There's a couple of things is that Andy Burnham, you don't have heard, he's the mayor of Manchester.
Yeah.
And he wanted to stand as a Labour Party candidate. And the Labour executive, the UK Labour executive, wouldn't let him.
Yep.
Said no, he couldn't. And they made an excuse that he was already a good job as mayor, etc.
Is it the executive that's dominated by Blairites, is it?
Well, yeah, sort of.
Yeah,
but anyway, they wouldn't let him.
Oh, yeah.
So people were really angry about that.
Mm.
And they said the other thing was the Labour guy that was there, whether he had a mental breakdown or whatever they call it, but he said a lot of derogatory things about the voters in that constituency.
No, not a good play.
Was he from that area?
But he was quite angry, and whether he lost the plot. So he's resigned, of course, but they said that hurt them. He was quite derogatory on them. Then turn around, the one they wanted who was from there wasn't allowed to stand. So
Labour did the proverbial shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, and now they're turning around and saying, it hasn't kicked, the benefits of our government haven't kicked in yet.
Benefits?
So
they've taken the benefits of people.
Yeah.
But the scary thing is, good on the Greens, because they have got a different. They've got a different philosophy, and it's anti-war, it's very much environmental, etc., but it's very much social justice.
Yeah, we watched that clip, and the BBC tried to bring anything about anti-Semitism, and the Green Party were handing out pamphlets, and it was about...
Yeah.
And you could tell straight away the BBC were trying to,
Corbyn.
Anti-Semitism, blah, blah, blah.
But it's not. Zach Berlinski is a Jew, so it doesn't wash as well as that.
It was pathetic. This is the BBC.
It didn't sound like it was a neutral interview at all.
No, it sounds like some of the stuff we have here.
Yeah. But anyway, it's shaking the political world. It doesn't mean anything because Labour in the UK has a huge majority.
You'll have a number of by-elections between now and the general election, so the potential is to lose more seats.
The biggest is probably, they're saying that Starmer will probably hold on, is not going to go, but if they get a real thumping with the local elections and the Scottish and the Welsh elections in May,
we'll wait for that.
Then that might shake him, because if the trouble is in the end, even if he's come... He's lost flavour because he didn't do anything he said he would, and he cut all Corbyn's bloody manifesto to ribbons, etc. And so no one likes him, basically.
No.
His likability is very poor.
Yeah, well...
-65%
Yeah,
last
something,
time.
Yeah.
Well, he approved the appointment of the other person now being arrested, Mandelson. That's not popular at all.
No. So watch the space. So Starmer will probably hang on. They'll have a bit of a what do you call it? What's the word for having a bitch there? That's not swearing. they're all blaming each other and all this and saying what's that. But that'll calm down. But the May council elections will be a big indicator, and that might, if they still do disastrously then...
Yeah, the writing's on the wall.
Writing's on the wall.
Yeah, but then even if that does happen, I can't see who's going to replace him is going to be any better.
Well, there's a
lot of... they've got the likes of Wes Street in.
David Lehman, Rachel Reeves.
Well, it could become, and this is you know...
Maybe Angela Rayner, I don't know.
Worldwide, it'll be huge. What could happen is Labor could gradually disappear in its present form, and the next election becomes a green reform battle.
That's possible.
That is really stark, because let's face it, Labor and the Conservatives will jockey a bit and a bit...
Two different ideologies.
But the Greens and Reform are very different, and people will have to make that choice. Comes about, Labor and, let's face it, Labor and Tories just have turns, basically, in a few twinkling.
Republican edges. Democrats, National Labor.
Same thing, National Labor. They have turns. Our Labor governments, you know, reasonably, but and they try and do a bit more for the general populace.
They certainly don't deserve the name Labor anymore.
Well,
they're not Labor anymore.
Have you checked their hands?
Well, the indication is when 50% of the over 50% of the population not bothering to vote.
It doesn't bode well.
People should be incentivised to vote.
Yeah, and then there's the other complaint is about from Nigel Farage in the reform is family voting. They put in complaints about family voting. And apparently, I don't know about New Zealand, but over there, someone can go into the ballot booth with you. It's not
if
illegal.
You need assistance.
You can just go. You don't even have to say anything. You just can go in and you can take your... Someone can come in with you, which I didn't know that.
No.
And so they're saying, well, that could be coercion. But if it's family members, you're allowed to... And this is the irony... They had mail-in votes, voting as well for the selection.
No family, so they're all upset
about the booth, a family member at the booth. What about all the people sitting around the kitchen table?
Wondering how to vote.
How do I vote? You should vote for this person.
We don't vote for reform in this household.
Don't vote for Labour in this, you know.
You vote for reform. Reform, you never step across this threshold again.
I just thought the irony, it's sort of like, you've got that one a little bit wrong, you know.
But he's just doing it for Trump. He doesn't pay his fair share of tax,
so
But, okay, they still got 10,000 votes. That's a big lot of people that are
think like he does.
Clothed.
And a lot of the asked people, they did some post-election interviews, and a lot of the reform voters said, I just didn't. There were Labour voters traditionally, but Labour has let them down. So they even.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
Good grief.
So they either went to reform because there's too many migrants and. Worse language, of course.
The racist element, and
the more liberal ones went to the Greens. Yeah. And Labor still got 9,000 votes, so they're not out of the picture. And by all accounts, she was quite a good candidate. But trouble is, the damage had been done by the not allowing Andy Burnham and Labor
and
the government's actions, I guess.
So a big
thing for the Greens, really big. So now they'll be targeted. You know, they've probably always been, they're only the Greens. The first past the post system tends to protect the main parties. Like here, you guys are all old enough. Yeah. The first past the post system, you had social credit. Got some win, got 30% of the vote and still only had one or two seats.
If that.
Mm. And so the Greens aren't really a threat. But if they start picking up by-elections and start saying, well, we want to actually take on... whoever's there, general election, everything will be thrown at them, of course.
Like Corbyn, it'll
get real dirty.
Yeah, because the mainstream seems to be attacking the Greens, saying, well, you guys are meant to be just about the environment.
Not necessarily,
is it? But Polanski, just like our Greens here, especially Chloe Swarbrick, etc., have said, well, actually, we're an environmental party, but social justice has to be part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because...
How do you save the tree if Johnny needs to cut the tree down to get warm?
Because remember the alliance and who made up the alliance? It was the Dems, the Greens, Manamata Haki, New Labour, and part of the... alliance philosophy was social justice.
Mm. Well, and to get around the first past the post system try and, you know.
So the Greens have always hooked into that, that social justice component.
Well, it's part of it. You know, I'll be quite honest, I don't know if I'm an ardent Green fan, but I very much believe in we should do things for all. And so the closest party to that tends to be the Greens, you know.
Yeah, I'd always like the Alliance.
Yeah.
Always have.
Well, I was in the Alliance. I've still got a few rosettes somewhere in my order.
But speaking of the Alliance, I see that Victor Billett, I think you may know.
Yeah,
he invited me to like the Alliance.
Yeah, they're just trying to get going again.
Yeah, he's actually good to talk to. Quite a knowledgeable man. So I said, that's all right. I like that.
That's democracy, politics. People are welcome to go and start up something if they think that the parties aren't offering enough or they're blocked. Sometimes parties might say they're what they want to do, but it's still run by a cartel at the top and you can't break through it. You know?
Yeah, so that
can happen.
So they're still very much like, because Victor, I think, is based out of Dunedin.
Yeah.
And because one of the other contacts we used to have was a person called Kay Murray.
Well, I was looking for Dave McPherson's. They had a bit of a lineup, and I thought, I wonder if Dave McPherson's face has popped up in there, but I didn't see him. So.
No, Kay Murray, I didn't see her name, but she was with them.
Yeah.
And she was also out of Dunedin, so
I don't really care what the name is
what they deliver.
Is what they're offering or what they're saying. Let's have a vision. I quite like what Top is trying to say. Let's relook at things, you know, rather than just the same old, you know. Have turned sort of part political system.
I don't
system.
Like that have turned stuff, no.
No,
yeah.
but that's what sort of
that's
tends
what we've
to
got
happen.
Though, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been created.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And to say the people that really benefit from it, neoliberals, the you know, the system, and the not just the wealthy, but the wannabe wealthies, and I'm all right, Jack, you know, they've benefited very well out of it. They don't want to change anything. They don't care how many homeless people are in Frankton or how many people are being there.
It won't be their problem.
It's not their problem.
And it becomes their problem if it's outside their doorway.
Yeah, and now...
Or only becomes a problem if they get hit, if their property's attacked or broken into. Then they get concerned about it, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
They want to punish people rather than remove the problem in the first place.
Kind of reminds me of the story, you know, Tale of Two Cities at the start of it.
Yeah.
When the Duke in his flash carriage ran over that poor boy and killed him.
Yeah.
And then he's killed in his bed by the father of the child. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bringing the problem into his home. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's why, you know, people, even if you're doing well, think it through. You know, it's all about having all this money and living in a, you know, going off here and there. But, you know, people start noticing.
They're noticing a lot now.
You know, and they'll notice more and more. And do you really want a society where you have to have, you can afford it and have someone, you put your car in a secure place or have someone guard your car while you go on a walk in the bush or whatever, you know? It doesn't bode well.
This pattern just seems to be going on and on, that social injustice. Charles Dickens, Victor Hugo talked about these sort of things.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
So this is not new, this has been going on and on for millennia.
And it always will, but to me the obligation of humanity is to always resist it and try and improve things, not just to go, well, that's the way it is, because we get that, oh, that's the way it is.
We
should always question it and say and offer alternatives and say this is wrong, we need to do better. And I think that's what I think the Greens do it here, but Zach Polensky and the UK Greens have really got onto a bit of a momentum about it, which will benefit other what I call social justice movements around the world. You know,
with people who follow those sorts of movements,
because you said the divisiveness in the UK is obviously an opportunity. They can tap into it and get the message across. There is an alternative to what we
well. And actually, Belinsky summed it up. And I'm a bit worried that he's too hero-worshipped. To me, the Greens, anything should be bigger than one person, etc. But he sort of summed it up. You know, the voters have voted for hope over hate.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say hate. It's hope over blame.
Mm.
You know? Let's face it. We know things are wrong. It's like, okay, how do we change things? How do we improve things for everyone? And Hannah Spencer's, whose speech was very much about that, how to improve it for everyone, you know?
And that's in a nutshell. Even with the election coming up this year, what parties are making it safe, life enjoyable for everyone?
Yeah.
They talk about it.
Yeah.
They talk about being everyone.
Well,
reality is different.
Right? Let's extract from that one, or National, you said it before, Fred. National provides nice, easy answers to make their supporters feel safe.
Yeah.
And they vote.
Yeah, and they vote, unfortunately. Yeah. The easy answers, yeah, but are they the real hard solutions?
No. It's band-aid stuff.
Mm.
No, but if you don't see it, if you live in a nice suburb and you go to the beach house, or
life's wonderful.
It's like, oh, this is even, you know, they've gone, you know.
What are people complaining about?
Despite irritants have gone.
What are people complaining about?
Yeah.
Life's good.
They should just get off their backsides and work hard like I've done, forgetting the fact that they've
ripped off their workers.
and inherited wealth, and privilege of education and probably a two-parent family. You know, all the ticks.
Attitudes.
Yeah.
Need to hear more things like what Labor suggesting, say, capital gains tax. Well, people like that idea.
Yeah.
Mm.
But people from the supporters feeling safe club don't.
They'll bring out a cold sweat.
Yeah, they'll be sweating their whatever's off.
Yeah. And it's only, you know, all those things is, okay, how do we... We're wealthy. We're an extremely wealthy country, New Zealand. We're extremely. It just goes back to distribution. And they say there shouldn't be anyone without an outer place to live. There shouldn't be anyone.
No, there shouldn't be.
Because we're filthy rich. Look what we got. You go anywhere, and you drive out in the countryside. There's all these big houses and they're all people doing quite nicely, thank you very much.
Greed-based economy, eh?
I mean,
we're signatories to the UN. The UN says that housing is a human right.
Yeah.
If we're prepared to listen.
Yeah. And there's always going to be. There's always going to be people that will have to be helped, through circumstances.
Definitely.
But isn't it our obligation as human beings?
Or was that famous saying?
To do that?
No, the country's judged by how it treats its...
Most vulnerable.
Yeah,
most vulnerable.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
We don't seem to treat our most vulnerable well at all.
And what I can't get is instead of people going, well, actually, I'll still be able to go out to a restaurant meal, I'll still be able to go on my overseas trips, I'll still be able to have a beach house.
That's not enough. They want it all.
Yeah.
Every last penny they can screw out of people.
Not all, but a fair chunk of them,
most of them.
Yeah. And the wannabes. It's not, you know, everyone goes on about the real rich. It's also the wannabes, how they see the world, how they see the normal. Yeah. So, anyway.
That's
an ongoing one. We'll keep doing the good fight.
Mm. We'll try to. Yeah, because we're in an election this year. Yeah. Mm.
And the dirt will be flying by the time.
Getting the vote out is really the
getting thing. Many more people to vote than the paltry whatever it is that people numbers like 50%+.
Automatic voter registrations. They are talking about that in the UK, so you don't have to go and register; it's just automatically done.
Good
food for thought. I know some potential.
Yes, but I can see some pitfalls.
I just need to check the cemetery records against the electoral roll.
Yeah. Or someone decides to hack into the system. That's the thing.
Okay, that's us for another Saturday. Check us out on Free FM, www.freefm.org.nz, or just check out the podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.